So what we're exploring here is, although this will not be so easy to see, so here we're meant to have an example which is defined just so that I can draw it on one foil. So we have a simple case with a 5x6 grid and a 3x4 internal grid. So I've labeled the unknowns of psi. So the first unknown is of psi 1 for the 3, of psi 2, 3, of psi 3, 3, of psi 4, 3. And so on. These B's are the boundaries. So this says that we're trying to solve Laplace's equation with Neumann boundary conditions. Neumann boundary conditions says that we know the value of the function on the grid. So we've already done this problem in the homework. I gave you Laplace's equation, I think, with one on the, something very simple on the boundary. So that's Neumann boundary conditions. You know the solution at the edge. In order to make this well defined, you must have the values of the edge. Otherwise, it's just ill-defined. Yes? I am sorry. Go through and do a global substitution of Neumann to Dirichlet. I should now say that to make this well defined, we need to know either the value or its derivative. Its derivative would be would be the Neumann boundary conditions. Most examples that people do in textbooks are always done with the Dirichlet boundary conditions. So if you diligently take the equations that we had on the previous foil and write them out, so we have 12 equations for the 12 unknowns, you will find a nice equation here, a nice vector of 12 unknowns, and some sort of combination of boundary values, which is the right hand side. Sometimes there are two boundary values because at a point like here in the corner, when I do the averaging of the neighbors, it has two boundary values as a neighbor. A point like this, I have one boundary value as a neighbor. So the equations have this structure you can hardly see. These are funny things here are zeros. You always have one along the diagonal. You have minus a quarters next to the diagonal, and then you have some zeros and another set of minus a quarters. So that's the classic structure of a Laplace equation or elliptic equation represented as a matrix. It's an extremely sparse matrix. It doesn't look terribly sparse in this example, because in general for this approximation, the matrix that which you're trying to solve has five non-zero values in each row and column. Because in each row and column, I have the central value and the four neighbors with a non-zero value. Everything else is zero. So you have five non-zero values. So if you only have a 12x12 matrix, five is a reasonably large number compared to 12. But if I had a 100x100 grid, it would still be five. And 5 is not a very large number compared to 10,000. Notice the size of this matrix. This is something I always used to get confused about. Notice there are two things that are rectangular in this problem. There's the original problem, which is here. That's a rectangle. And there's the matrix, which is a square. But the size of this matrix is the product of the number of x values times the number of y values. So if this is nx by my internally, this is nx times my by nx times my. So this is a much bigger matrix than this geometrical system. This is the square of the size of that. And that either sounds trivial or confusing, depending on whether you think carefully. But that's why, if you like this, so anyway, so the when written in matrix form, this is a huge matrix, most of which elements are zero. When thought about geometrically, there aren't any particular zeros, because the zeros are implicit, because you just, the zeros correspond to the fact that geometrically, the points only interact with their neighbors. Okay. This is a banded matrix, and it's got ones along the diagonal, minus a quarters on the two lines next to the diagonal, and then another minus a quarter further out. We'll look more generally at the structure later on.